The Bottom Line Sports Talk Podcast is presented by BottomLineSportsTalk.com. welcome back, people. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us. We love and appreciate the support. We want to get into a topic that sparked my interest because we went to HBCUs, otherwise known as historical black colleges and universities. I don't know why the AA or the N, but that's fine. Anyway.
Cool. And what university did we attend?
We attended the Grambling State University.
All right. So we're just going to throw out the topic.
So we have arguably one of the greatest tandems that were put together in collegiate basketball history in the Fab Five. Five young African-American men at the time who went to the University of Michigan in order to, one, prove a point, two, set a trend, three, to be as impactful on the game as possible, and four, to win championships in the NCAA, something that had never been done before.
Mm-hmm.
And a topic ran across my screen earlier this week saying, what if the Fab Five went to a historical black college? The significance of this would be that historical black colleges are often overlooked for big time programs, whether it be football, basketball, baseball, right, soccer for the ones that have it, mm-hmm, women's basketball, softball, and other programs. Because I guess those are the big ones. And track too, but track, right, is a medium where if you do good, if you do your due diligence, you can make it on any level.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason being, and you can jump in whatever you feel, the reason being why athletes choose to go to other colleges, PWIs as they would call them, over historically black colleges, HBCUs, the reason why that happens is because more exposure,
more TV time,
better facilities, yeah, supposedly better academic quality,
right,
just better overall everything.
Mm-hmm.
Which you were an athlete for a while. So tell us what was that experience?
It was a great experience for me because my coach was a coach that was assistant coach under Dean Smith. So when he came in, I don't know why I said that.
If you talk.
Well, okay. My coach again was the assistant coach to Dean Smith. And what he brought to the table, he always brought academic. He was more about academics more than anything. And I remember he would always, before every single practice, before everything that we did, he always had quotes up in our locker, in the locker room. And what we had to do was memorize the quotes before practice even started. So after we got through warming up, we'll all huddle up and he'll tell us what we have to do. And he'll just call out randomly, like he'll call my name or he'll call one of my teammates' name. And he would say, what was the quote of the day?
Why was that so significant?
Well, because it was inspirational quotes that he gave out. It was quotes from Dean Smith, from other greats, from Martin Luther King, from the greats, Muhammad Ali. All of these athletes and all of these coaches, it was more than basketball to him. So he would always challenge us to, you know, be better in the locker room, be better at basketball, and also be better at academics. So that's one thing you can't pretend like it never happened. And how it was so impactful because of the experience. Nothing wasn't easy. He didn't give out anything to anybody. He told the truth just like how it was. Some college coaches from some PWIs, not honest, like some HBCU coaches are, they'll tell you you have everything in the world. I give you, if you come to my school or if you come to the school, you'll get every endorsement. You'll have all these coaches and everybody looking at you. Whereas this man right here was more father figure, if you will, more than anything. So that's it's just something different about going to HBCU than anything, because the odds are stacked against you anyway. Not only that, the odds are stacked against you. You have your peers that go to PWIs that know, and they getting all this recognition while you're not. So you have something more to prove. So that's just what it is with the HBCU experience. Is different, but at the end of the day, it's a loving environment. It's something you can never take away.
So if you would have had the chance to go to a bigger university, would you have went?
Nah.
Stop playing.
I don't think so, man.
So if you would have had the chance,
If I was five-star recruit?
Yeah.
If I was five-star
recruit. That's okay. In the perfect world, a four- or five-star recruit. You on top of your game. Everybody coming to your door, coming to your house, going to your mailbox, sending you letters, whatever. Everybody coming to your games. You know, the top of the top. You got Roy, Krzyzewski, everybody. Calipari, you got everybody knocking at your door. If you had the chance to do it all over again, you telling me you'd choose HBCU?
Nah, I probably
wouldn't. All right, cool. No, I know. We where we want to be, so why would you not? No, just be free.
I just want to say shout out to Rick Duckett. That was my college basketball coach. But what was the question again?
I said if you are a four or five star recruit, basketball was your sport, of course. Yeah. If you're a four or five star recruit and Grambling hadn't had very many people go to the league since the mid 40s to 60s.
Yeah.
So that being the school of choice that you would have went to, you're a four or five star recruit. North Carolina, Duke, Louisville.
I would have went.
Why would you have not went to HBCU?
I don't know, man. Yeah, again, more exposure, more NBA executives looking at those bigger colleges than HBCUs, especially now. So that's the main reason why I would want to go to those other programs, because they offer me a better chance to go to for my dream to come true. If I went to a HBCU, for example, Grambling, or if I went to Howard, or I went to, you know, another HBCU, I don't think I would have got the same exposure, because I'm not on TV a lot. NBA executives, they not come to the games that often.
But you said, and I heard you say it, and we try to tell kids this too. If you're good, they're gonna find you, right?
Anywhere, right?
Right. All right. So you say you would have went. And we're trying to dive into this problem right here. So you say you would have went to a Kentucky, a North Carolina, or somebody like that, and you would have chose that over HBCU. Mm-hmm. But you just told me that the HBCU had a better experience from people being honest, people having the same culture but a different culture, because it's coming from somebody who's, you know, for all intents and purposes, just your same skin tone. They know your background. They know your struggle.
Yeah, help you out.
And everybody is in the struggle together. It's not, oh, this coach is getting, you know, over $1 million and endorsements. Yeah, we might be getting the shoes and maybe a stipend every now and then, but it's a big gap between what they live in. Like a coach at a coach at a North Carolina versus a player. Especially if you stay for more than 1 year and you're not their predominant player, guess what? You still struggling in the slums. Meanwhile, the coach going home to, you know, quite possibly a $500,000-$600,000 home.
Right.
So, you know, you saying all that's why I posed that question like that. You saying all that you said, and you said it's just about making your dream come true. Mm-hmm. What about the other aspects of maybe seeing kids who are like you and everybody being in the same struggle as you? Like, it's the difference, like you said, between if you're the most talented person versus the least talented. So is it just about achieving a dream, or is it about more?
Right at that moment, it would be about achieving a dream.
Mm-hmm.
I can go back and achieve everything else after I get through achieving my dream, after I get through making the money, after I get through making endorsements. Of course, if that were to happen hypothetically, of course, I'm always get back to where I came from. So it ain't like I'm going to forget where I came from. But at the same time, With that experience with me, it was good. But if I was in another position, I would have definitely went to if I were a five-star school, I would have went to one of those bigger schools, because they at that, you know, they have a little bit more to offer than maybe going to HBCU. Who knows? But
so what does that say? Because that's what I want to get into. So what does that say about the state of an HBCU? Everybody's always talking about how nobody gives, you know, us anything, and nobody goes and helps us out, or we always got the least amount of funding or whatever. What would it say if, you know, you were in that position, you know, and you still chose it? Like, how can you, you know, still say, well, nobody cares about us, ain't nobody doing for us, so, but then you choose that? Like, I'm posing it to you because you're a former athlete. I was too, but you went and played in college. So what does that say to, you know, somebody who you say you so down for the cause of, you know, elevating what you know and what you love? What does that say to they never back then? We know history of America, and it sounds like I'm rambling, but I'm going somewhere. So what does that say to back then?
To all the people that sacrificed?
Well, not even that. Like, at first, the reason why historical black colleges were created, and universities, I'm sorry, colleges and universities were created, because we weren't given a chance to go elsewhere.
Right.
At that time, back then, we were loaded then because, you know, nobody else was accepting African-Americans. So you saw us flourish. We can play with any and everybody, mm-hmm. sports-wise. Mm-hmm. Books-wise, we may have been behind, but we still had the desire and the hunger to elevate ourselves. So now the reason why I'm asking, the reason why this, and we're going to get into the Fab Five going, but the reason why I'm asking these questions to you is because I think these are the same questions that you see a lot of kids face. Mm-hmm. So if they not a tier one person, if they not a 4 or 5 star recruit, then yeah, they'll choose it as a second option, but why isn't it their first option? If it's just about the exposure and you understand that you're on a conveyor belt, and I think we're going to put it in the show notes about the $40 million slave, because mm-hmm. that book still, you know, resonate with me. If you go to that university, you're competing because you're a top-tier recruit. You're competing with other top-tier recruits. You're also competing with the junior college system that right. people go through as well.
Right.
So, yeah, you say it's about the exposure, which in basketball is a lot better. Mm-hmm. Because football is a lot harder. It's a lot more positions and a lot more depth.
Right.
But basketball is a little different. You can come in, and if you are 4 or 5 star, then you can play immediately, and you got a chance to go to the next level faster. But if it's about, you know, culture and finding out who you are and seeing success from the level that you see it, if you value seeing it from your own versus somebody else,
yeah.
you know, why would you? I'm seeing yeah. you can answer for an athlete. Like, I understand about the exposure and getting that chance, but what about outside of it? Like, what if, you know, that chance doesn't happen?
Well,
you know?
I know for different athletes, and I know for just how society is right now, like we just said, when Kevin Durant went to Golden State, just follow me. Golden State had twice, double, triple as many fans as they were.
Mm-hmm.
You had a lot of players. DeMarcus Cousins wanted to go to the Warriors. I'm pretty sure a lot of players want to go to the Warriors, go play with the Warriors. And the reason that is was because they were already a great team, but you seeing somebody else elite go to another team. With HBCUs, maybe this will happen. Hopefully it will happen. But all it takes is one, and we talked about this plenty of times.
Mm-hmm.
All it takes is one 5-star recruit, whether it's football, basketball, soccer, baseball, softball, track, which we just saw with North Carolina A&T. Once,
who you talking about, Cohen?
Huh?
Who you talking about, the running back that was the Bears?
No, track. Track.
Oh, track, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I didn't know what you talking about. Go ahead, my bad.
Nah, so once you see somebody do that one time, maybe basketball with a 5-star, 4-star crew, go to a Grambling or go to a Southern or go to an Alcorn. Once that happens, you'll start seeing a couple more coming. And then if that player has success with the HBCU and they get drafted and they succeed in the NFL, NBA, whatever sport they play, Then you're gonna see, you're gonna start seeing a slew of African Americans come to HBCUs. So I'm saying all of that to say this: you do have to. It's just not gonna happen overnight. I would love to see that. I would love to see that one player take that leap of faith and say, "Hey, I've been born here. I've been raised here. Nobody ain't gonna be able to take this away from me. This is where I want to go." And not anybody else influence his decision to go on, and he just do that on his own. You're gonna start to see a slew of players, male and female, go to HBCUs. And it ain't like with the HBCUs, it's bad competition. It's competition. But
I ain't gonna stop you. Mm-hmm. That's what I wanted to say. I mean, what ultimately to make, like, besides the chance to have more exposure, because I think that's what we see that around here a lot, right? Because we got Grambling, we got Tech, we got ULM.
Right.
And I'm comfortable saying that I feel like Grambling's the second one around here. I'm just comfortable saying that it's me. In the state, we have LSU that runs the state.
Right.
You have ULL, which is an uprising program.
Tulane,
Southeastern,
Xavier.
But what I've never understood is kids choose to, and we're seeing it more now where they don't necessarily do it. You see kids, I know when we were coming up, because we're 30 now, when we were coming up, we saw kids wanting to go to the big schools, the LSU, the Texas, the Mississippi State, they're just big, big schools, mm-hmm. right? You know, over 100,000, they got international students. We're talking about a lot. We've seen a lot of them right. choose to go down there, and you get washed through the system.
Right.
Right. So then you'll come back to a smaller college, whether it be, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you come back to a smaller college, but you see then when you go that, oh, it was the same thing. It's competition regardless. And now you see, because you couldn't be nurtured in that big system, mm-hmm. now you see that, they got their own competition. I'm not really good as I thought I was. I'm just about to stop playing. And I think you see a lot of kids' dreams get crushed. And this has to do with parents and educating themselves on what's the best opportunity, because to me, it goes further than just what you see with the field. And I think that's what a lot of parents get misconstrued. Instead of you saying, hey, what school do you want to go to that's going to benefit you completely, not just athletically? Because what, basketball has 490-some people that play in it, yeah. right?
As opposed to football, have thousands.
Yeah, but still, you think about the population in the United States, and I'm just talking about the United States. We're not even going to talk about globally. You think about the population, you're talking about over millions of people. Billions, I mean, not billions, but that's the world population, but over what? We can say four. I'm just going to say four. It's probably 3-point-something, but we're just going to say four million people in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Cut it in half with male, female. You put athletes, because a lot of people want to play sports growing up. A lot of people think they got what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you say, well, now the system goes through a big school.
Right.
I go to big school, but I get flushed out because I don't have the special attention I need, because I still need to hone my skills. Why wouldn't you choose to go to somewhere that can nurture you and grow you? And I'm saying HBCUs, but I'm saying in general now with smaller schools.
And let me interrupt you. You remember when Terry Bradshaw last week was talking about it, and he made headline news when he was talking, because I know Tech played Texas maybe the first game of the season, and he was just saying that Texas have what?
Louisiana Tech.
Huh?
I was just saying Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, Louisiana Tech. But you talking about Texas.
Oh, no, I know what I was saying. You said Tech played Texas.
Oh, Tech, my bad. Yeah.
Louisiana Tech.
Louisiana Tech played Texas in Austin. And he was just saying that Texas had 3 5A or 3 5-star quarterbacks. And one of them gone. Well, I think two of them transferred. And the last one, he really ain't that good. And the message that I got from that is the message that we've always been saying a long time. I would never, even when I know Duke had all that talent, Kentucky all just loaded with talent, I would never go to a university where I have to actually really compete. The start or just to even get minutes. So what Terry Bradshaw was saying, why would all these five-star quarterbacks go to just one university when if the quarterback is playing, if he's really, really, really good, that's 3 years starting. That mean the other five-star quarterbacks, four-star quarterbacks, whatever, that mean they're gonna have to sit on the bench. And why waste your time, why waste your potential sitting on the bench when you go play at Louisiana Tech or Grambling State, Alcorn, or any other university that needs that? Because if you go to the bigger schools, that means you're gonna have to compete. And more than likely, the person that you're competing with already been starting, and more than likely will have a starting role unless something drastically happens, say they get injured. So that's why.
You're right. Yeah. That's what I'm asking you. So knowing all of that, like, okay, let's say, because you would say, I guess if you were a three-star recruit or whatever, I'm just saying a smaller, not known player, but somebody come up offering you a big-time scholarship, you're going to turn that down. But why wouldn't you turn that down
to begin with?
Like, I look at it like this. Let's just relate it to relationships. I'm looking at the prettiest girl in school, in my opinion, right? Mm-hmm. She's popular. She's smart. She's athletic. Mm-hmm. Everybody like her, the whole nine yards. Well, she rejects me. But all of a sudden, I get popular. I'm smart already. I become an athlete or I'm getting notarized or whatever. Now mm-hmm. she want to come around. Do I accept her? She's been the stuff since kindergarten.
She's been since kindergarten.
And so we in high school, and she's smart, athletic. Everybody loves her. She got a bright future ahead of her, so say, right? Mm-hmm. And then you got me, who I try very hard, and I'm smart already. I'm not as popular. I got my own set of friends. You got the whole school. And all of a sudden, let's just say I got an invention. I ain't going to put sports in there. I got an invention that's about to be groundbreaking. That's going to send me to MIT.
They're going to give me $1 million.
You know,
$1 million.
No, yeah. My patent is going to be worth $1 million, but if I keep the product myself, then it's worth $1 billion, right?
Right.
So we ain't going to talk about athletics. We're just going to talk about it in general. Mm-hmm. So I've been liking her. She didn't turn me down. I'm just her friend. Mm-hmm. She speak to me every now and then. Mm-hmm. She don't even notice I'm alive. I ask her out to her homecoming dance. She tell me, nah, she got to go with Jock. Jock is the star football player or whatever, right?
Right?
But all of a sudden, my invention come back after the Christmas holiday, and I'm in the news, and I'd have been interviewed, and I'm in the newspapers. I'm on every blog, Instagram. The whole 9 yards, my life just changed overnight. All of a sudden, she come back to me. What I do? Do I go with her? Or do I say, no, I'm good, love, enjoy? So then why don't kids look at that? Like,
I guess, to your point, it's an attractive thing.
This goes to what you were just saying. If we'll get back on high school and how we do that, because we ain't even got to the APCU thing. We ain't got to the Fab Five. That's beautiful. That's all right. Cool. But we 25 minutes in. We didn't get into it yet. So look at it like this. Yo. Freshman or junior year in high school, you weren't really looked at. Right. You were okay. You were good in your state, but nationally wise, you weren't looked at, right? Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, your senior year start, you hitting the trail of blazing, right? Now they went from classifying you as a two-star recruit, and you got a couple of college looking at you, to I'm a four-star recruit, and everybody under the sun want me. I went from having three offer letters to 50.
Right. Everybody in the country.
Yeah, them 47 offer letters, this from the big time. It's the UCLAs, the Dukes, the UNCs, the USCs, the Michigans, right. All this stuff. It's from the big time,
right?
The ones that be in the championship now, in the big dance every year, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to pay attention to these 47 over them three that was down with me from the jump?
Right.
Like, that's what I understand about kids. And then, let's be honest, we know from, we won't say the name because we always, but we know from certain places here in Louisiana, it's a little bit poor. It's a little bit, education system is behind. It just is what it is. It's a statistic. Why is it certain kids in certain places, they're gonna make it out, they're gonna make it out of their situation because of athletics.
Right.
Why are parents and the kids hell bent on letting their kid go to a big time university
where they get lost in the shuffle?
We can't even talk about athletics because we gotta talk about the school, because and we see with football so much because you can't leave until 3 years is up. So you see a kid go to a big time university, they already don't have the education behind them. Mm-hmm. They've been pampered their whole lives. Mm-hmm. You send them to that big school where they can get lost in the shuffle. They were okay. They was the man at their high school, but they're okay in that system. Yeah. You get lost because the first thing that happens is, like I told you, junior college transfers come in, right? After the junior college transfers, guess what else comes in? More four or five star recruits next year. And then you can just get lost in the shuffle.
You got to compete against that every single year.
So why would you not let them go to a smaller university that can nurture them? And we're not even just talking about HBCUs. We're talking about a Tech is considered a smaller university, even though it's pretty known for what it does. Or you can send them to a ULM, because at the end of the day, the chances of making the athletics is slim to none, but getting an experience, making great connections, actually experiencing life, and then going to get a good job just doesn't seem like it's worth it when it comes to the life cycle of an athlete for some people.
Right.
Like,
it just needs, that's why I thought I asked you this. We gotta start right now. We gotta start holding the athletes accountable for the decisions they made, because it wasn't too long ago that we seen a player out of Texas that came to Grambling. That played football, that played quarterback for Grambling. He wasn't getting that much shine at the other school in Mississippi.
Oh, Kincaid.
Devontae
Kincaid.
Devontae Kincaid at Ole Miss. He wasn't getting that kind of shine.
From Texas. Played at Ole Miss. Was a little hurt, but he decided. But that's to my point though.
Right. And then if you ask him about the experience at Grambling, I wish I would have came in first.
That's my point right there, though.
Right.
That's a perfect example.
And if players just take a look into that, all it takes is one. And again, he didn't get drafted to the NFL, but he is in the Canadian Football League. Mm-hmm.
Which is a good consolation prize for you to continue to work on what you want to.
Right, which is definitely a great consolation prize. And He didn't go to Tech, he didn't go to ULM, didn't go to LSU, didn't go to UCLA, USC. He came to Grambling State University. He graduated, which is first and foremost, he graduated. He did what he was supposed to do in academics, and he did what he was supposed to do in athletics as well, and it paid off. Now, did he go out there and play in the NFL? No, he didn't. But he's still playing football, and he's still getting paid to play the game that he loves. And all of that was achieved by coming to a smaller university, HBCU, at Grambling State University. Because I guarantee you, if he stayed at Ole Miss, he wouldn't have gotten that opportunity like he did with us.
Well, don't just narrow it down. Okay, I just want to make sure we make it clear. It's not just because he went to Grambling. It's because he chose to go to a smaller university. And if your talent shines like with anything else, then you're going to get noticed. Hard work pays off. Mm-hmm. Perseverance, consistency, being coachable. All that pays off. But anyway, we're 29 minutes in. We got to get into the real topic, which is great, which is fine. So coming up next, we're going to get into what ifs, if the Fab Five went to a historically black college. That's what we're going to get into next. We'll be right back. We finally to the topic that we supposed to be talking about. We went off on that spiel, but I think it was good to have a little backstory. Whenever we have our guest on, we'll actually pose that question to a couple of them, because I think that's something of significance, something that may help, kids think differently. As long as you spark the thought, right. I feel like that's what's most important. But the topic at hand is if HBCUs, you know, had bigger, better players that came to them. And the question was posed again, like we said earlier in the show, what if the Fab Five had went to HBCU? Even separately, even if they would have went to HBCU, but they were dynamic together.
Right.
I'm going to list off the names and then I guess we can go from there. So Chris Webber, that was a Detroit native,
mm-hmm.
along with Jalen Rose, mm-hmm. Chicago native Juwan Howard,
yes,
and two Texas recruits, Jimmy King from Plano and Ray Jackson from Austin. Probably the most dynamic freshman class of all time in collegiate history. They chose to go to Detroit, but what if they would have went to an HBCU? And I don't really think it. I don't think it even matters where, just because of the impact that we saw them have, the significance it would.
Man, it would have been crazy. Because till this day, I still think you would have had some 5-star recruits, some 4-star recruits go to any HBCU that often, because the exposure that these guys had. And just imagine they playing against other HBCUs and other HBCUs are getting top tier players.
It's a trickle effect.
Yeah, it start being a trickle effect. And when that happens, you don't have these PWI schools getting all the best recruits. Like Eddie Robinson, I'm pretty sure Eddie Robinson had a lot of players that could have went elsewhere, but it was a different day back in the day. But
well, no, I mean, back then, though, that's what you had. It was when he first started, they got all the talent like they needed.
The African American talent. Mm-hmm. But back to the question at hand right now, if they would have went to an HBCU, I think everybody else would have followed, because they were trendsetters, they were leaders. And I'm pretty sure at a certain point of time that when they thought they were getting used, then they jerseys were selling, the shoes were selling, the shorts were selling, everything. I'm pretty sure it kind of crept in their mind, like, man, if I would have went over here, I probably could have got compensated.
Oh, then they could have got compensated, because you know everybody still fall under the NCAA. But I believe that because they were so dynamic, impactful trendsetters, like you said, they made wearing, and they say baggy shorts, but it's not baggy shorts, it's longer shorts
right.
and black socks a trend.
Right.
They made being excited about the game a trend.
Mm-hmm.
They made staying together and being with the quote unquote brothers being a unit. They made that trend. They set that standard.
Mm-hmm.
And it was before a bunch of guys looking to, you know, go to university and win. They ain't know each other before they stepped on campus. These guys knew each other. They linked up. They talked. And they got a chance to say, hey, if we go here, we're going to change the world. Mm-hmm. And they did.
They did.
So for them, if they would have went to HBCU, one, that would have set the trend for many, many years to follow. Because it would have let people know that not only going with something of an unpopular opinion is cool, but actually doing it on a high level
mm-hmm.
means that you're setting a trend and putting in somebody's minds that, you know what, I can link up with somebody else and go, or it's talent there already.
Right.
You know, we can do so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And what that would have meant for, you know, the HBCUs, it would have meant that, man, look, not only are you getting talent, but you getting exposure. Oh, y'all making noise.
Y'all on TV now.
Yeah.
ESPN.
And they would have had to pay attention because of who they were.
Right.
Instead of being on TV every once in a while and having a couple games that mean any significance to somebody,
mm-hmm.
it would have meant that much more. It would have set the trend for nowadays. It would have been that much better if they would have went.
Right.
Just the amount of, just the volume that they had, And some of the issues that they had, I don't think they would have had them issues had they went to HBCU because they wouldn't have been under constant scrutiny.
Right.
They wouldn't have been so exposed to certain things. It would have been, hey, you around your peers, people that look like you, people who have the same goal in mind. They talk like you. They got the same background as you. Mm-hmm. No offense to, you know, their coaching staff or whatever, but didn't none of them know what it was like to grow up poor? You know, none of them knew that if so say I'm saying I as them, mm-hmm. if they didn't make it, they got to go back to the hood with nothing.
Right.
You know,
and they probably going to be doing something they weren't supposed to do.
Yeah, you probably, now you in the system.
Right. Now you in the system. Right. I think that would have definitely helped out the cause to any HBCU in general, because leaders. They're leaders. They would have been looked at, and not saying that they aren't leaders, but they still are leaders. But the magnitude, if they would have went to any of those schools, any HBCU schools, it would just been absolutely crazy, man. That's just one thing to ponder about, because if that happens again, like we both stated, other African American, probably in 2019, would go to Grambling or go to any SWAT school, MEAC school, they would have been doing all of that.
Yeah. I know for a fact that because they were the first to do that, with Michigan being a big time program, them actually doing that with a smaller school would have been that much more dynamic. Mm-hmm. It would have meant that much more to, even if they didn't choose a HBCU, even if they would have chose a North Dakota State University,
mid-level,
mid-major. Just them being impactful as they were, basically setting the trend for freshmen at that time starting.
Right.
If they would have done it back then and done it for a smaller university, I think you see the effect of people going to a place they always maybe love no matter what. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the NCAA, maybe they don't have the same impact with that happening, because they were making that much money. But I mean, you can't screw over a small school like that. It just don't happen.
Because from what they looking at, y'all don't have schools don't have that much. They don't have that kind of money anyway, or they don't have that money anyway.
That's why they make a big deal about Cinderella stories.
So right, exactly. So if you take it away, what y'all gonna get? The NCAA fined a small school. All right, what if the small school can't pay their fine? What y'all gonna do?
Yeah, I don't think they can do much of. But talk about what it would have meant for them to go to playing a Duke, or them being, because they would have been a 16 seed. Mm-hmm. What if they would have been the first 16 seed instead of the school in Maryland? What if they were? Because I just see it. They would have had to be a 16 seed to take down a bigger. Now it may not have been a Duke. Maybe they would have had to be in a different bracket.
Yeah.
But what if they would have took down one of the bigger schools back in the day, man, and being with a small college?
It's crazy.
I'm sorry.
It would have been the greatest upset.
Yeah.
It would have been the greatest upset. You have to think the magnitude, even if it was just a little scary and they did lose, hypothetically speaking, if they did lose, them just being in the game to begin with would probably have brought exposure to the school. So do you think they possibly could have upset them? Anybody? Because
I think they would have upset, because again, that's what we say all the time: talent outweighs everything. So those five players at that time, I don't care where they would have went. They could have went to Florida Gulf Coast that just started, and they would have been dynamic, and they would have set the stage for something greater after them. No offense to them going to Michigan, because they did what they did. They had to get that recognition. Mm-hmm. That's even with them going to play overseas and stuff. They did it, and they got that recognition. But if they would have went to HBCU, it may have took a year or two. to get it going to where they were known. But I think the first time that they make the tournament, because they would have blew through whatever conference they were in. Them making the tournament, all they got to do is beat somebody. And I'm saying 16 seed, but they could have been the was it 13th, 11th seed? Right. Yeah. You know, the first four in, they could have been one of them. And they would have made noise because they'd have beat first whoever they would have had to beat to get in there.
Right.
And then, you know, unfortunately, they would have had to play a number one. You hope it's not a Duke, because anybody else back then, I think they could have beat. Maybe they would have lost to a Duke, but they would have made it a game, though.
Right.
And they'd have shocked the world. So no matter whether they won or lost, I think they shocked the world. Like,
somebody gonna have to pay attention to them.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think, to what we were talking about earlier, the development of who they were could have been so much more dynamic had they been around their own peers.
Mm.
Like, of course they hung around African Americans and stuff like that at the university. But imagine if you would have had a whole campus full of people just like you.
Right.
So, again, outside of maybe some little spats or something like that, I don't think you see them in as much trouble. I think you see them being that much more of a force and focusing that much more on their craft, because, like you say, when you go into a smaller university, everybody is looked at as saying you're less than, or that we don't have it like everybody else. So that make you work even harder.
Right. We're better than you would.
Yeah.
Y'all always going to be under us. If it weren't for us, it won't be. No, that's probably how they look at it. That's probably how they look at it. But, oh yeah, again, back to what we were saying earlier, all you need is just one person. One person just to go down there and, you know, take that leap of faith and say, boom.
And I guess this is my whole thing. I think it would have opened up the pipeline for future stuff. Because they at that time, as a unit, nobody was bigger than them. I'm talking about any sport. Nobody was bigger than them and what they were doing at that time. I read an article and I just opened it back up.
Mm-hmm.
This was Jimmy King saying that they actually discussed going to HBCU.
Really? Okay.
And they said they could have led them to a Final Four. That's the talent that they had. And I truly believe they could have on whatever team, as long as the five of them were together, on whatever team. I just, like at the beginning of the documentary that they had on ESPN, they said they all had, not all of them were playing. Some of them had to sit.
Jimmy and Ray had to sit.
Yeah,
Ray, especially Ray.
So if they would have went to HBCU, all five of them starting from jump, you're looking at probably their chemistry is better. They know they all five got to play. You're looking at a potential gel into where maybe they could have won the championship. Because they had to sit that first time because the coach didn't want to start all five of them because he was scared of hurting feelings. But clearly, all five of them together were more talented than anything he already had. Otherwise, you wouldn't have considered bringing all of them in at the same time.
Exactly. And when that happened, Shaq probably could have went to an HBCU. Mm-hmm. Derrick Rose could have went to an HBCU. If you think about it, man, all the possibilities that could have happened if they would have made that transition, it would have been excellent. It would have been great. It would have been good to see. It would have been something out of the ordinary, because all the McDonald's, just imagine three McDonald's All-Americans going to a HBCU or a SWAT school or a MEAC school. Just imagine if that would have happened.
So do you think that they had the same thing in their mind that you had as far as exposure?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't get me wrong, they did it together, so that was different than what you see a lot of other people.
Yeah.
But if the knock is always that HBCUs have less than, if the knock is always that, you know, nobody pays attention, and I don't know when you get another person who's going to have that mindset to say, hey, the only way it's going to change is if we start going there, not we go take a chance somewhere else and then come back, because right. That's a slap to the face to an HBCU.
Mm-hmm.
HBCUs already don't get the funding that they need to,
mm-hmm.
right? They already don't have the same facilities. It's knocked on saying that the education isn't the same mm-hmm. like it needs to
right.
be.
The technology,
the whole nine yards. So the only way that would change is if somebody, because it's through athletics, let's just be honest. Right. It's through athletics that things change. That's how we get our funding. Mm-hmm. And in the South, it's with football first. But, you know, even for basketball schools, when is it going to come a time where somebody says, you know what? I'm going to go here. I'm going to change it. Because I'm pretty sure that's what all five of them thought. You know, hindsight 2020, I'm thinking that's what they thought now, just seeing what it is. Because HBCUs weren't in the state that they are in right now. They were never just, you know, big. But back in the 90s, the Gremlin had an open door policy where, you know, somebody who didn't test well can go there. And, you know, you had several thousand kids going there versus now they're still building it up. What if, you know, you had a Fab Five go there? Man, you looking at enrollment being like everybody want to go there. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, that first year, that's a test year. Yeah, and that's anywhere. That's right. A test year. So then they make noise, man. Who this little school right here? I'm about to go to it now.
Let me research. Let me see, research what's going on around here. Let's see who came and went to this college. Let's see what else they have to offer besides athletics. What can the alumni do for me? So I think it would be good. It would be good.
Yeah.
Because it's the amount of exposure, like you said, the amount of exposure that they would get would just be.
So what do you? So what do you? What do you think? And we may end it early. I don't know. We may not get to an hour today. I don't know. Mm. I feel like this one productive though.
Right.
So what do you say? No, I'm gonna rephrase it. What would you, knowing what you know now, I'm gonna ask it this way first, and I'm gonna flip it and ask another way. What would you, knowing what you know now, do if you had the chance? Say you are a Derrick Rose or a Zion Williams. What would you do if all the big time programs are knocking at your door? You're knowing what the country was built on back then and how historically black colleges were meant to take in their own. Mm. What would you do knowing what you know now? Would you still go to a Duke? Because this is the wrench that you got to throw in too. A lot of the kids that choose to go to the big universities,
they still get looked at like they...
Well, the universities are helping their situation, not their family situation. So I understand what they're doing, but is it worth the impact that you can leave? Like, yeah, he helped his family out and this is then the third, but who reaches back? You know, like people get mad at me, women particularly get mad at me when I say that the Jay-Z Beyonce thing, especially Beyonce, how she performed with Gremlin and other HBCUs, I believe I saw. And this is bringing so much exposure to Gremlin. And I'm like, is it really? Because it's a double-edged sword to me. Like, yeah, they see Beyonce and she doing this, she talking about this, but when kids get here, they don't, it's nothing like you thought it was. Right. So now it's like,
they just see the glisten
and glamour. Yeah, you see the glisten and glamour.
They see the highlight. They see the highlight.
So I think it's one of them things where if all pieces don't align, and you have some schools like Howard's just blessed to be in a great location.
Right.
It's in the DFW, a tri-state area. It's just, mm-hmm. It's in a tri-state area, not a tri-city, but a tri-state area. So it's blessed to be in a good part of the country. Mm-hmm. But everywhere ain't like that though. No. So
yeah, you have some schools out there that's in rural areas.
And that's all you see.
That's all you see.
All you see is their school and that's it. Mississippi State is one of them that I can think of.
Yeah, definitely. I understand why some kids that's for example in Mississippi don't have maybe 10,000 people in the town, and if they're a 4 or 5-star recruit, they leave to go to a Florida or Florida State or Alabama, those big time schools like that. I can understand why
they choose that over the smaller one.
Yeah.
So what would it take to get a big time player to a smaller university.
You gotta take a lot. Is the old saying, "Your word is your bond."
Like, give me some examples. Like, what would it take? I'm making you thank you.
Yeah, I take a lot. I know the conditions got to be great. That's one. You got to guarantee me that I can have a great education. I'm pretty sure a lot of people would tell them that as well. You got to guarantee that if I leave or if I make a decision that I don't want to stay, that I will always come back to this a family.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what a lot of these kids want, that they don't have, that some don't have. I ain't gonna say all, but some of these kids don't have that whole family behind them. And if you can preach family, family, family every single day, no matter what decision they make, whether it's good or bad, that you can always come back, then you'll definitely have me sold.
So I think in order to get like a big time player, I think you hit on it first when you said that it's going to take conditions. But I think it's just, as pro teams go after players, I believe that you have a winning formula in it. Like when certain pro teams go after players, they can sit up there and draw from
mm-hmm.
older Hall of Fame players role that had success. Well, yeah, just like with the Lakers are bringing Magic or Kareem.
Mm-hmm.
I think Milwaukee does bring in Kareem too sometimes, since he used to play for them. Mm-hmm. With Boston, you got Larry Bird, but Larry Bird also with Indiana. So I think having an older, historical, great presence behind everything, I think that's how you start to lure people in. So for Grambling, Doug Williams,
mm-hmm.
RIP to Steve McNair, but that would have been our corner's draw.
Jerry Rice,
Mississippi Valley. Like you have players who had success, and this is just football we name it, but you have players that had success. I think that begins to be the draw. And I'm not sure what Jerry Rice's establishment is with his alma mater,
mm-hmm.
but if that alma mater were to be smart, I believe that you have to tap back into your resources. Cause that's one thing that you learn when we learned, I know for me especially,
mm-hmm.
was your resources. Use your resources. Use what's given to you. That's what you got to. What you have in front of you, that's all you have. The way you grow it is tapping into other things that are affiliated with it. So it's about building that network chain up. So I think that's one way that you begin to get athletes, one that impacts a lot with your school, because a lot of college has to do with it's education one, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's let's just be honest, it's social, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sporting events draw people in. Even if you don't know much about sports, you want to rip for your school.
Mm-hmm.
So professional athletes having a presence on that campus and being able to speak about it too, you know, if some of them have a platform, being able to speak about what it is, I think that has a big deal in to begin to draw kids in.
I was just going to say, you remember when Joe Horn came to Grambling?
And
if you know anything about us, we love the New Orleans Saints. And when we saw and when we met Joe Horn and he came to speak at Grambling State University, he was just saying that if it was up to him, because he went to a junior college in Mississippi, but he had said he always wanted to come to Grambling State because he loved Eddie Robinson.
Yeah, and I feel that. I mean, a lot of people, you know, hindsight 2020, that's what the Fab Five, you know, probably said mm-hmm. too. But I'm saying to get people in, like, yeah, you'll hear people say they always would have went, but they didn't go.
Right.
I think if you want to draw kids in, it has to be somebody that's associated with the university. Because if they didn't go, then Joe Horn, for instance, he's saying that to a kid that's a 3-4-star recruit that maybe has an offer from a bigger school
mm-hmm.
and then has an offer from a smaller one.
Right.
You can say you wanted to go to a smaller school all you want to, but the reality is you didn't go.
Right.
So I think you have to have successful alumni, you know, tap into. And they don't have to be professional. It can even be somebody who, you know, they have them on their scouting team. Mm-hmm. Somebody who knows the university that has success there can tell them about some of the past players, tell them about their affiliations, tell them about some of the things that go on while you're there, after, and how you can give back.
Right.
And the way that you give back is by getting a better talent pool, a better pipeline in. So I think that successful people, and since we're in the sports realm, successful sports people, mm-hmm. and high profile figures that come from certain universities, that's how you tap into it.
Right.
That's how you get more exposure to it. It's constantly having that name out there because the bigger universities do it.
Right.
Every time you look up, they got some on LSU basketball, baseball, football, whatever. Alabama too. So the way you tap into it is local news channels, pubbing the heck out your smaller university, right?
Mm-hmm.
Athletes, everything is social anyway. Not that many people watch the news. They look at it on their phone.
Right.
So you have ads pop up. You have them people constantly talking about it. Wearing a paraphernalia. Everything's visual now. So if you have somebody rocking it,
mm-hmm.
oh, that's it right
Snoop
there.
Snoop Dogg did it last year.
That's it right there.
Snoop Dogg represented last year.
Yeah. So you have high profile people represent. And so this brings awareness. That's why the Beyonce documentary was so impactful. Exactly, but again, that's only going to get you so many people. I think somebody who actually went and knows about it, and there's no disrespect to her because she knew about Prairie View and Texas Southern. She didn't go to school.
Right.
The way you get people in is somebody who went there and finished.
Right.
I think that's how you get that pipeline started, how you get people saying, you know what? I'm going to give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
It can't hurt. And I think once you get in, and this isn't just for HBCUs, this is smaller schools in general, you have a nurturing system that allows you to become who you want to be and who you are,
right.
where you don't get that everywhere else.
Right.
Like you have people trying to be something that they're not, but when you go to these smaller universities, man, look, the connections that you build with them
mm-hmm.
are far and wide. That's how they reach. They're far and wide.
Wow, they all over, man.
And it teaches you to not only appreciate everything that you see because you're so entwined with the university that you do more. You have to because you don't have those resources.
Mm-hmm.
So you do more. You learn more. You affiliate with people more. You can associate with many people, many different people background versus I might only have my select number of friends at a bigger university. And that's it. Like, you know, we run into people all the time.
Yep.
Man, don't I know you? I got a couple of text messages yesterday with Facebook messages. Dude, I know you, don't I? I don't know. You look familiar. But we just know we had that common bond. Not, oh, I'll look out there at a bigger university and such went there, but we don't know Tom, Dick, and Harry. Because we just don't.
And even with that being said, every time we go out of state, for example, when we go to Dallas, we'll wear a Grambling shirt, and it'll be somebody that went to Prairie View or went to Texas Southern or and also went to Grambling State as well. So we all had that common connection, that same background, that we all know how it is. And, I mean, it's incredible. It's good. It's good to see. So
we'll be right back. We got one more break, and we're going to wrap this thing up. It's been pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good. All right. We'll be right back, folks.
Yo. We finally back. And the topic that we are about to discuss would be the great Odell Beckham Jr.
Great.
Yeah, he is great. He is great. I like him. Great wide receiver. But what we're going to be talking about with Odell is he just felt something in his heart it wasn't right, that he wasn't right in the right situation and that he was stuck, that the Giants were holding him back.
I need you to mention that he got traded, though.
He got traded.
It wasn't his decision.
He got traded. No, he did get traded.
It wasn't his decision.
Now, he said that he felt like he wasn't going to be able to reach his full potential with the Giants. mentally, physically, spiritually.
That's what he's saying?
That's what he said.
Wow.
That's what he, that's what the man said. So let's get into it. We ain't gonna be PC about it. What you think about it? Do you think the Giants held him back? Or do you think all of this was his own doing?
I think it was definitely a piece of him more than the Giants. I think we understand that in football, you have less control on where you go, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But I also look at and I hate to use this word, but that's true what it is. I have to look at the distraction that he was.
Okay.
You constantly get mad when a ball isn't tossed to you. We got to understand that his quarterback wasn't who
he used to be.
I don't even know if he used to be. We're just going to say playoff. He wasn't playoff Eli Manning. That's for sure. But you got to look at football being probably the top example of what a team game is. So you can't always get the ball.
Right?
I understand you think of the ball is in your hand that you impact the game that much. And you do to a certain extent. But you can't do it on your own, fella. Fella, you got to have your offensive line blocking or running back when they got a blitz. You got to have other wide receivers running routes too, because otherwise Odell Beckham Jr. ain't who he's supposed to be.
Let me ask you this question. Did Odell Beckham Jr. have too much dip on his chip, sir? Did he have a little bit too much dip on his chip?
I don't think it was a little. I think it was a lot.
Was it a whole bag?
A bag of dip or the chips?
A bag of chips.
Oh, no. He had like 2-3 chips in his hand, and he had the whole can of dip, the jalapeno dip to be precise.
Hey, jalapeno chip.
Jalapeno chip. He had the whole thing. If we talk about Rotel, then he got too much meat on his chips with no cheese.
Ooh.
Rotel fire.
Okay.
You tripping.
All right. You're right.
I mean, but people down here definitely.
Yo, they all the time.
Like, it's just meat and cheese.
Yeah.
I've heard people get like roasted for not making Rotel right.
Right.
Oh. It's pretty sad. It's a little disgusting if you ask me, like, why are you so.
He's getting to play hard game now. Slaps me.
Wow, you are something else. But I think in terms of what the New York Giants were and Odell, yes, the New York Giants had their faults.
And let's not forget the boat boys, the yacht club. Let's not forget that before they him, Odell, and a bunch of other players were on the yacht. Before the playoff game?
Tell the people what happened, I'm saying.
I can't remember what game it was, but I just remember all of them was on the yacht the week before they played whoever, and then they lost. And everybody's always going to go back to that specific situation, because – whether y'all did anything on the yacht or not, or if y'all did anything on the boat, let me drive the boat or not, the fact is it was self-sabotage because it could have been avoided. Do that after the season over. You don't see good players, or you don't see teams in general going on a yacht.
But is that on him, or is that the team in general?
No, that's on him. He made that decision to go there. Well, else ain't do that.
Well, I'm saying, wasn't it him and a few other players?
Yeah, it was him and a few, but we're not talking about it.
I'm just asking. So about this trade then, let me ask a question to you. The trade, was it his doing? Or was it because New York was just beneath him?
Nah, New York wasn't beneath him. He was
now. Don't be PC. Remember,
PC. I'm not being PC. That wasn't nothing in New York. I mean, New York made the trade, but man, we not about to keep you in the locker room. Then you going out and interviews saying that you criticizing the coaches, you criticizing the players, and you ain't holding up your end of the bargain like you doing everything perfect. Nah. Hey, nah, it don't even get down
so,
like that.
So let me ask you this, because I got a brainstorm. So walk me through this then. Besides his crazy behavior, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is he wrong for feeling the way he was about New York? Was he wrong?
Nah, he wasn't wrong. I mean, if he felt that way, if he felt that they were holding him back, then.
I mean, let's just look at it. If they would have kept him.
They still
won't
be able to do
nothing. No, I'm talking about I ain't talking about what they would have been able to do. I'm talking about the draft is what's supposed to prepare you. Mm-hmm. Y'all go out and draft basically no name quarterback over arguably the best quarterback in the draft in Dwayne Haskins. Mm-hmm. If I'm Odell, I'm like, that's why I want to get away.
Right.
So
they're going to be starting from scratch one.
It's not even that. To me, they aren't doing anything to get better.
Right.
So, yes, Odell may have been y'all downfall, so say, right? Mm-hmm. But now, as of last year, you got a gem and a running back in Saquon Barkley from Penn State. Y'all finally got a running game. You had a dynamic wide receiver / supporting cast, but you didn't have a quarterback.
Right.
You paid a bunch of money for your defense, mm-hmm. but you didn't have a quarterback. Like, that's what the league is driven on. So, is he wrong for saying they held him back? No, because we all know, since we're not being PC, Eli Manning ain't the one.
Right.
So, then you go out and get Daniel Jones, who is basically understudy of the Manning family.
Well, wasn't even considered to be a top prospect.
Yeah, so the reason why I say, you know, what was the statement again about him saying, is it beneath him? I'm just trying to make sure I'm not misquoting him. What was the statement again?
For
they were holding him back.
Right.
I don't know if he wrong for saying that statement. I don't think he's wrong for saying that statement. The only reason why
you ain't about to come into a whole situation where everything will be great for you.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying that. I don't think that's what he meant. When he's saying holding back, to me, what he's saying is this: New York is a destination because of the media, and it's supposed to be a big time. Y'all won two Super Bowls in the past decade, right?
Against the best quarterback.
Well, the organization. We're just gonna say organization. So, having said that, the thing that people question about New York is, was it luck? Because they haven't sniffed the playoffs when it comes to anything outside of making a run. So, now you have weapons, mm-hmm. Odell, now Saquon, mm-hmm. and you don't even finish in the top three. It's only four teams in your division, you can't even finish in the top. Sometimes you don't finish top three. Sometimes you're the last spot. Sometimes you three, but you never finish top two. Or if you do, you miss the playoffs. So one can wonder, what is it? It can't be talent because you have talent. And you went and bought talent.
Right.
You look at it and it's, besides the offensive line being what they are, you still got a quarterback who is a shell of himself if he was ever himself to begin with.
Right.
So holding him back, I don't think he wrong for saying holding him back. I mean, I don't know how else you put it when you say, well, bruh, now you got all talent around you and you still can't make the throw?
No, the situation now is, well, if they don't do anything, is Cleveland going to be holding him back from now on? They got us, what, they a second-year player? Baker Mayfield. So
is Baker better than Eli?
Not yet. No, sir.
I think as of last year, you see shining glimpses of him being better. The thing that you see with Baker is this. He was in his first year, and he was second amongst the rookies of the year behind Saquon. Had he started, he probably right. would have been a rookie because they value quarterbacks way more. Well, now you got to look at it like this. I only had a wide receiver last year and a tight end that nobody knew about. Now I got Odell, and we got running backs, and the offensive line is okay,
and the defense has always been good.
So they have nowhere to go but up. Now, granted, they in a way harder division. Mm-hmm. That's what Odell thing probably was. He's like, bro, we in the NFC East, Dallas, Washington, New York, and Philadelphia. And we can't be second at least? And we ain't PC, right?
We know what the problem is, the quarterback. Yeah. So you telling me that we can't even go draft better? We could have went and got, since they wanted to say offensive line was a problem, mm-hmm. we didn't even want to go get an offensive lineman in the first round. We go get a quarterback mm-hmm. and not even the best quarterback available.
Right.
So, yeah, Odell may be a problem child, but at least he out that situation just because they don't like they want to improve it at all.
Right.
And hopefully we all wrong about Daniel Jones.
Hopefully.
I just don't think I am.
Complacency. That's what New York is,
right? That's a strong word right there.
Look, under less
underachiever, that's what it is.
Less average. I mean, it's about to be crucial now because they besides Saquon, who else?
And they're gonna run the mess out of Saquon. That's the sad part about it. But I think that's a good place to end, don't you?
Yes, sir.
So this podcast is now called, we went through a couple name changes because we've been trying to get on a few of the main platforms. This podcast is called The Bottom Line Sports Talk. It is now The Bottom Line Sports Talk. We are on Instagram and on Twitter, BL Sports Talk 51. The 51 stands for the age that our father passed away, which is very significant to us. Mm-hmm. So BL Sports Talk at BL Sports Talk 51. I'm sorry, at BL Sports Talk 51 is the Instagram/Twitter. You can also find us on bottomlinesportstalk.com, our website. It is fully functional, fully available. I'd love to see some traffic go towards you.
Yeah, we're going to be giving out, or not giving out, but we're going to do some articles, some music articles on people to listen to. Also follow us on our individual IGs and Instagram pages as well. Mine's is CDJackson07 and yours?
Mr_SoloDolo123. So we're going to be very active on our website from now on with articles covering football, basketball, our opinions on those. Mm-hmm. Also covering any hot button issues as well. Just our opinions on them, how they relate to certain things. As my wonderful co-host said, we are definitely going to be putting music factors in there, new and exciting music to listen to. What we're going to call it is our picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
We're going to call it our picks of the week. But having said all that, we thank y'all.
Thank y'all.
We appreciate y'all.
Salute, salute.
We love y'all. Matter of fact, I ain't tell you this, but I want to do this. We come to y'all from Atlanta next week.
Hey.
We're not a traveling podcast, but we're going to be next week. So look forward to that. We thank y'all. We appreciate y'all. Give us feedback and join our email list. It's on the website. It's going to pop up. We just need feedback, man. We appreciate that. We're coming to y'all. We're getting active. We're getting enthusiastic.
Yeah, you know I mean?
The whole nine yards.
Yeah, you know I mean?
We will see y'all later. Talk to y'all later. Be in y'all ears later. We thank y'all. Love and chase your dreams.
Thanks.
If nobody told y'all you can do it, you are loved.
And blessed.
And blessed. And we want to hear about everything good and great going on in y'all lives because y'all are listening to us. And we just want to pour back into y'all. Thank y'all. Say bye, Kier.
Peace out.
Say bye, Gary. Bye.
All right, done. Peace.